on chapter 21 of Revelation. And this series is entitled Living for the New. And it's a powerful, glorious chapter that just is a celebration of the new. But as you continue to read through chapter 21 of Revelation, it tells the whole story. And the beauty of the new is when we focus in on the new, we get a new understanding of what the old is. So today we move into verse 8 of Revelation chapter 21, and it has got some serious stuff in there. And we go from looking at the beauty of the new heaven and the new earth that will be our eternal home with a new body that is going to be spiritual, but it's also going to be fully physical. And the beauty of that is that physical body will not be touched by death. Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
All you got to do is live a little bit upon this earth and understand what pain means to these physical bodies. These bodies are temporal because of sin, but our destination is so beautiful. The title of today's message in the series of Living for the New is The Death of the Old. The death of the old. Free will is what God has given us. And he has allowed us to handle this old nature, this nature of sin, in how we choose to. It is in our care if we embrace the new. It is up to us how we handle that old nature. God has enabled us with this powerful thing called free will. But if we choose the new, here's what happens. God empowers our ability to live as new creations given by his mercy and grace through his Son Jesus Christ so that we can walk this earth as new creations. This morning, there must be a death of the old now. Not later, not just later, but now. For we join the fate of what we embrace. What we hold on to, if our desire is to hold on to that old nature and our old ways, there is a consequence. There are grave consequences for choosing to live for the old. God makes clear the cost of rejecting the new. So let's journey back in Revelation chapter 21, starting with verse 6. And let's read through verse 8. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega." This is after the new heaven and the new earth has come. "The beginning and the end." And last week we focused in on our thirst for God. He says this, "To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life, which is the living water that God has offered." Are you thirsty for the new? Are you? Are you thirsty for the new? And I'm not just talking about the eternal new. I'm talking about the new that God has given you here. And when I say eternal new, the new that he's given us here is eternal. But then he goes on in verse 7 and he tells us this. Those who are what?
Victorious.
Yes. And the ones that are victorious are thirsty. They're running. They're actively in this race that God has allowed for us. They're thirsty for the new. They are desirous of the new. The old has been seen for what it is. Because why do we love the old so much? Because we don't fully understand what the old will do to us. Why are we enamored by sin and that old nature? Because we don't fully understand the consequences. One of the scariest aspects of today's contemporary Christianity is that we just teach about the new. We don't teach about the old. We just teach about the blessings. We don't teach about the consequences. And man, I want to know truth. I don't want to know partial. I want to know truth. That is why it's important to read through Scripture, because the truth is going to hit us in a good way, not a bad way. Verse 7 tells us this again. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. God says, the new heaven, the new earth, the new body that's coming for you, I will provide it. I will make it possible. He's saying, if you just trust me, these are going to be yours. I think about my loved ones, my mom and dad, that have passed recently. And just knowing they are experiencing the new, and they understand the new in its full capacity, yet even more is coming for them. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. It is a gift, a free gift that God will give us. And I will be their God and they will be my children. Now, could we just stop there and go home? That's what a lot of churches do. They'll just talk about the blessings, not the consequences. Years ago, we had a powerful minister of God by the name of Junior Till. And one of the things I remember so much about the revival he led us in through the power of God was the promises have conditions. We talk about the promises, but we don't talk about the conditions. And new has conditions, meaning there's something different. That's more than just words. So let's look here, verse 8. We go from this beautiful image to this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur, described as this. This is the second death. Now, do directions matter to us when we're on a trip? I remember Pastor Lillian shared a story when she first got her GPS for her car. And she was going on a mountain trip, and as she was traveling, she was following the GPS. Well, how many of you know you can get in trouble sometimes doing that? It is a blessing, and it's great to know that you don't even have to fold out that map anymore. For the elderly here, we understand what that is. And she said it was taking her through the mountains at night, and the next thing she knew, she came up on this road that had no light at all, and it had an incline, and as she drove, she says, "Lord, I'm going over the cliff." And it scared her half to death. I think it took her a year before she would use her GPS again. I want to know what my choices and my direction is going to present to my life. I want to know that. I want to know if I choose to live this way, where am I actually headed? And God has made it very clear what happens if we enter into the category of cowardly, unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The eternal dwelling of the old is the lake of fire. And it's the eternal place where those who line up in those categories will spend eternity. Why would God make it so clear the destiny of those that hold on to those things? Because he doesn't want us to go there. Justice demands that there are consequences for our choices. And Jesus came with all mercy and grace and says, I'm going to take your sins away, but I'm going to do more than that. Not only am I going to take your sins away, I'm going to empower you to live free from your sins. Now, please understand what I'm saying. We're going to battle with our sin. We're going to look back a lot. But what is behind us doesn't have authority of the power that dwells in us. For if we embrace our sins of the past and return to them, mercy calls out and convicts us to hold to the new. And God's mercy will bring us back if we want it. The chances, or let me put it this way. The frightening aspect is making a dwelling that has these categories and thinking that God is cool with it. And it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And that's all right. I respect that God tells me the truth. And I respect he doesn't want me to live in the bondage that these categories have. And let me tell you, we can dress it up all we want, but these categories, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, those are some ugly places to be. And they do not satisfy the soul, and they do not sit and live with the new. They just don't. God describes the lake of fire. He describes this as the second death. It's the death that is eternal. And someone would say, isn't it enough to die once? When we die, we go into judgment. For those who have held to Christ, they die, they go to be in the presence of the Lord. Those that have not held to Christ, when they die, they go to hell. But hell is not an eternal place. Meaning that that's not where sinners are going to continually be. There's even a worse place called the lake of fire. So, Pastor, don't preach on that. That's not cool. It won't grow the church. I'm sorry. The word is what God calls ministers to preach. And I don't look at it as a negative in the sense God's saying, hey, man, there's consequences. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I can't imagine what it's like for someone to feel that they're okay with God, continuing to live in these categories and die. Yet they were pastors, they were deacons, they were leaders, they were the biggest givers in the church. Yet Sunday after Sunday, the message came and it was all about, you're good. Your actions don't matter. You believe, don't you? That's all you got to do is believe, and you're good. You don't have to change. The old is not a problem with God. And they die in that car wreck. And they end up in hell. If my spiritual leader did not tell me the consequences, I think the first person I'd be mad at is the guy that had the responsibility for telling me truth. And there are a lot of preachers being hated in hell right now. I've told you the story. I'm just going to touch on it real quick. I've told you the story of my time in Alabama, going into a place that I felt was a solid place, and living there, ministering to the community, and finding out there was a lot of racism and hate. That's what racism is. It's hate. It's hate. And having a contingency within that church come against me because we were reaching out to our community. And one of the ones that was, he was a follower. He wasn't even the leader of the pack. I mean, it was evil what went down. And I had some of the most beautiful people I met was in Alabama, and some of the most scariest people that I met when I was in Alabama. And this guy was not the leadership of that, but he was a follower. He was a good follower. Get him, get him, get him. He had a heart attack, and I get the call to the hospital. And I go and I see him, and I walk in that room after he had suffered a major heart attack. His wife was sitting next to the bed, and you've heard me say this. And he looked at me with the most intense look. And he said, "Pastor, I am sorry for all that I've done and the hate that was in my heart. I was wrong." And I said, "Thank you." He said, "That's not all." He said, "I died in this hospital. And the demons were dragging me into hell." Now, if you had someone look at you in the eye and say, "The demons were dragging me into hell." He wasn't loopy. He wasn't on morphine. He was as clear-minded of any man I've ever talked to. And his wife sat on the side of the bed. She was a follower as well. And she says, "You weren't going to hell. That you weren't going to hell. You're a good man." And he looked at her, he says, "I was going to hell. I was being dragged into hell." He was, and it's real. It's not a game. And we can spend our time upon this earth living like the next level is not even there. How can we do that? By focusing in on the old. By living for the old. And let me put it this way. By living for a new that is not a genuine new. It's just a religious thing. Because a religious thing, the spirit of religion, is as evil as any demon in the pits of hell. Appeasing, numbing our minds that everything's cool. Well, God tells us if everything's cool or not. He tells us, "They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is, say that with me, the second death. The contrast could not be greater between the new heaven and earth and the lake of fire. Think about that for a minute. This beautiful, and we're going to see more about the beauty of what's coming, but the beauty of the new heaven and the new earth versus what? The lake of fire? That's contrast. That is major contrast. Eternal life versus the second death. Eternal life, being in the presence of God, living in the presence of God, enjoying a whole new eternity that's not a cloud somewhere that we're going to sit on. It is physical. It is real. It is going to be glorious versus burning away in a lake of fire and torment forever and ever and ever. You don't write the story. You don't have the authority to write the story. You do not have the authority to write God's story. And I'm speaking to myself now too. In the fact that I want the story to have a different ending, That's not my responsibility. That's not my right. God creates and makes things however he wants to. And he has loved us enough to show us the picture. Who can write the story? God can write the story. The contrast between eternal life and the second death. The contrast between the old and the new. And then we ask ourselves this question this morning. Which fate are we joined to? Consigned to. A choice of will. A choice that I live out on this earth. A time of preparation for the opportunity to be, say that, victorious, not in our power. It would be great to be able to be an athlete with the power of God. Wouldn't it be? I saw a video the other day, actually it was yesterday, and it was this big lineman. And they highlighted, you know how they'll take a video and then they'll put like a bright dot on it where you can see exactly what they want you to focus in on. And this big lineman, this DB, this defensive back, was rushing through to rush the quarterback. And this guy got up there, boom, and the guy just went, he just went flat. And then the guy's standing there like, the DB gets up again because that's what they do, don't they? If you're a good defensive back, you don't give up with one hit. He gets up, and then boom, and he went down even harder the second time. That guy, he had ability. Well, you have God's ability in you to live for the new. But the old is coming and telling you you don't. The old is coming and putting its face in front of your eyes and trying to weaken your heart and your resolve. And it's trying to tell you, you don't have authority. You don't have power. You have the power of God that dwells within you. So your fate is possible if you hold on to the one and invite the one of power to live in you. You will be victorious. Will you trip up? Yeah, you're going to trip up. You're going to make some bad choices? Yeah, you're going to make some bad choices. But those bad choices are not going to be your dwelling. They're going to be your past. They're going to be your past. See, which fate are we joined to? Our choice is not a mystery. Right now, if you take an honest look in the mirror, you know the fate that you're holding on to. You really do. Now we can appease our minds, we can lie to ourselves, but there's something that's really hard to lie about. And that is actions. Actions scream out our choice. And we have some choices at that point of what to do with our reality. Let me make a God that's cool with what I'm doing. Can we do that? Oh, yeah, we can do that. In fact, you'll find a church in this town that will appease anything that you want appeased. I promise you that. If you look hard enough, you will find it. You will. It's there. Our choice is not a mystery. It's not a mystery to God. Obviously, there are no mysteries to God. But to us, it's really not a mystery. God makes clear the choice that leads to the lake of fire. These frightening realities that sometimes become our choice are displayed very clear. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Did we misunderstand anything in this list? Because we're going to take some time to walk through this list, not today, but as we continue in this series to understand what that list really means. Because I don't know, I want to know what it is. Because I don't want the destiny of the lake of fire. I want the new heaven and I want the new earth. I want the eternity that Jesus came to give me. I don't want the second death. Oh, you know, the devil would say, oh, you're so bad teaching on this stuff. It is glorious what awaits us. The new. When we look at the old, think about contrasting it with the new. Oh, Lord, thank you for what you've made. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, all fruit of sin, all fruit of the fall, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Unless we release the old, our fate will be the lake of fire. Let me just say that one more time. Unless we release the old, our fate will be the lake of fire. God's not a liar. His grace changes our reality. Let me say that again. His grace changes our reality. I'm going to say that one more time. The grace of Jesus Christ is a power that changes our reality. Don't use grace as a shield to continue in our sin. For grace was never meant to be a provision, a preserver of sin. It never was. It was given through the blood of Jesus Christ to free us from our sins. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but we know when the old comes in its demonstrative and its powerful way, when we hold on to it, grace reminds us of the freedom that we have. And we what? Release it. Cast it. We don't live in it. And it's not our ability. It's the ability of the Holy Spirit who is alive in those who hold to Jesus. I want to see if we can to just bow for a moment in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, when you reveal, you fill us with hope and with understanding. And we ask in the name of Jesus right now, where the old is yelling in our ear, reminding us of the captivity that it has us in, let us see the old fall, crumble, be destroyed by the power of your newness in us, Lord Jesus. Father, we repent right now of anything in the old that we've made a home for. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I show you your true condition, I do not condemn you. I convict you. My conviction is motivation for you to move out of the old. My conviction is motivation for you to move out of the old. If you stifle my conviction, you deaden your heart. If you stifle that which I've made you aware of, you callous your heart. But the new heart that I've given you can hear as long as you will listen. But the old has come and masqueraded as the new, and it is satisfied with the actions of the old in your life. But that is not my destiny for you. That is not my hope for you. Repent of the old and call it for what it is. Do not determine the definition of the action in your wisdom and in your authority. I have given you the definition of what that action is. Hold to it, for it will help you release it in the name of Jesus. What is vile to you, Lord, may it be vile to us. And God, it's all seated in the powerful love that you have. I'm going to ask this morning, if it's in your heart, I want us to really focus in on releasing the old in the name of Jesus. And we're just going to move into a time of coming before the presence of God and really allowing the old to be seen for what it is in our heart. That we would leave this place today in the spirit of repentance and in the joyous reality of the new that God has given us. Hallelujah.